this game has gone final. So the Bruins are now winless in three consecutive games. The Stars, fueled by the power play in the second period, they score three times with it. Matt Duchene with a goal and two assists. And your final, Stars 5, Bruins 2.
Jones and Keefe here on WEEI. It's Patriots Friday. Talking a lot of Patriots on the show today. Can the Pats keep it close with the New York Jets? Meaning, do they cover? If they don't, what happens? Probably nothing. And isn't that kind of the scariest aspect of all of it? We'll probably just shrug our shoulders and move on to next week, another non-competitive week.
Three more months.
And get into the next crap fest that was unforeseen, but you know is coming for the Patriots. So you can jump in, 617-779-7937. We'll get back to the Patriots and Jets, a four-pack of questions for Pats and Jets in the Friday four-pack coming your way about 15 minutes from now. Bruins, relatively lifeless in that game last night.
Wake up.
Jim Montgomery, after the game, said the team's attitude needs to get better. He said he's frustrated, and it's unacceptable up and down the lineup, throughout the lineup. Last night, what the Bruins did, they actually take the lead. They give up four goals.
Three on the power play.
Three straight power play goals.
Yeah.
And the guys taking the penalties, to me, are the issue when these penalties have been an issue and they've been called out for it from Jim Montgomery. We talk about Mayo calling out the team and the team not responding. Montgomery's doing the exact same thing. And Montgomery's a lame duck coach who is not under contract beyond the year, and it would be much easier to move on from than someone like Jerod Mayo, who I still think they could move on from, but does have term and just got brought here. Like, Montgomery's been here for a few years. He's calling them out for taking penalties, being lazy. And starting the second period, 10 seconds in, Pastrnak, lazy penalty. Pastrnak had two of them last night.
Mm-hmm.
Marchand had two, both in the offensive zone. Three power play goals. They've allowed power play goals in just about every game this season. And so to me, this feels like a dead man walking. It feels like a team that's completely and totally tuned out their coach. I said this yesterday when we were talking to Andrew Raycroft. I was more up in arms about watching Brad Marchand than I was about watching Montgomery shove Brad Marchand in the shoulders.
Yeah.
I was more into watching Marchand just getting hollered at by Montgomery and not even blinking. Not even blinking. It's like your wife is squawking and you're trying to just watch the TV and just tuning it out. That's what it looked like. It looked like he was tuning him out. The team has tuned him out. And you have to wonder when Montgomery's going to be out, because, Keefe, I don't think it's going to be much longer.
Yeah, it's crazy how it works, especially in hockey. It feels like coaches are in and out all the time really quick, because Montgomery was the one that got here and saved them from the very scary Bruce Cassidy that was too mean to the players, even though he wins a cup immediately when he leaves.
Yep.
But I thought they liked Montgomery, and they've had some really, really good regular seasons under Montgomery. Them winning in the first round last year, I think, saved Jim's job. Otherwise, he would have been gone.
Yeah, if they lost to Toronto, he wouldn't have been back. I 100% agree.
And so he comes back, but no new contract. And contracts haven't been the easiest thing to come by, I guess, this offseason, right? Sweeney and Neely were kind of dealing with somebody else for most of the offseason.
Yep.
But they will obviously want to see what this season looks like. I don't know if those guys are waiting to see what the playoffs look like, or like, had they gotten off to another great start? Like, they've been a regular season wagon under him. Would they have been like, all right, we'll give you a deal. Like, well, you know, the two sides will come to a term. A lot easier to sign him to a deal than Swayman to a deal. But the longer this goes and the longer they are kind of playing this way, like, they're eight games into the season, they've lost three straight, they take a million dumb penalties, they don't kill the penalties.
Like, no, definitely not.
Taking the dumb penalties is more egregious than I looked it up. I think they're 19th in killing off penalties. So they're not like at the bottom. It feels like they should be more at the bottom of the league.
And again, last night it was three power plays.
That was insane.
And Dallas is really good.
Tyler
and like, they have high-end skill. Sagan, Duchene, Robertson had a power play goal last night. So, okay. Like, I get that Dallas is talented. But you're not killing them
again.
Off, and the more egregious thing is you're taking them. Correct.
And it's been constant. And this is the problem. Anytime there's a coach, and you know, we talk about this with Mayo, but it applies to Montgomery. If you're calling out an issue, and in this case it's like dumb penalties, and you keep calling it out, and he's calling it out publicly, you know he's for sure calling it out, you know, in the locker room, and then it keeps happening, like, all right.
Yeah.
So what are you doing to make it better? Are they? Is there anything that you can do? Or are they just not listening to you?
Correct.
Or what?
That to me
is
what it is.
Command.
He's telling them. It's very clear. They're not doing it. And again, it's not just like they're losing games. They're doing the exact thing he's telling them not to do. He's disappointed. He's frustrated with
themselves.
The team. Yeah. It's up and down the roster. And look at who it is. It's Pastrnak and Marchand. I love Marchand. But it's those two guys. Text line 37937. This is right. The boys club is still running the Bruins. Pasta, Marchand, McAvoy. They all help run Cassidy out of town. I would give a big hat tip to DeBrusk, by the way, on that one, mm-hmm. who's no longer here. Mm-hmm. But they all help run Cassidy out of town. And now they're going to do it again. Was the coach the issue the last time? Now, they go on to say, get Pasta out of here, which I don't agree with.
But, I'm not doing that.
But the first part of it I agree with. Like, Monty has lost the important guys in the room, so he's going to lose his job soon if they don't turn it around. And it might be too late for him, Keith, because I don't see how once you've lost those guys, you get them back.
Mm-hmm.
And again, the difference with Montgomery and Mayo is, number one, NHL coaches are disposable. There's like 35 of them for 32 jobs.
NHL is wild. They just move around.
They all just get recycled anyway in the same job. So that's number one. And number two, Montgomery's been here for 3 years. He doesn't have a contract beyond the year. Mayo just got here. But if Mayo were in year three and the team was doing this, he'd get fired like Robert Saleh.
And I don't think it's a talent thing either. Like, I saw somebody, I don't know if it was a Twitch line or the Twitter, whatever I was looking at, was saying, well, like, he doesn't have a lot to work with. They have their best players from last year are back.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I guess depending on how you feel about like DeBrusk, but I'm good there. But like they spent
like crazy in free agency this year.
I know. I was gonna say they should actually be better like on paper. So you have your best goalie after all that back and forth, but your best goalie, and he's played most of the games. It's not like you're losing all these Corposalo games, and it's one of the, that's not the case. He's played two games, so it's been Swayman for six games. You have your best defenseman are McAvoy, and then pretty much everybody else is back. Pastrnak, Marchand, you add Lindholm. Talking about Elias Lindholm, so you have all those guys. Even Coyle and Frederick, who were pretty good on last year's team, are back. Now, Coyle's been MIA offensively. He's 8 games, 1 point. Like, he can't have that.
No.
Like, so some of the guys that were pretty good for you last year, Pavel Zacha had a good year last year. He's got 2 points in 8 games.
Yeah, it sounds like playoff Zacha is what that sounds like.
I know.
The guy can't score in the postseason.
So I think part of it is Coyle and Zacha aren't living up to it. Obviously, Brad Marchand still hasn't scored a goal.
I'm going to tell you, I never liked the Zacha signing. I was okay with them spending money, but I never liked the Zacha signing. People look at Jeremy Swayman and they go, well, the Bruins are tight to the cap because they have to pay their goalie and blah, blah, blah. And I get that. That's fine. Swayman's actually good. He's not playing well, but he's actually good. Is Zadorov good?
I can't tell yet.
And
I don't think he's big.
He hasn't looked good.
No,
he's big. And so this is, I wonder genuinely if this is one of their problems. They leaned into, probably because Florida's roughed them up 2 postseasons in a row.
It's a direct result of that.
They lean into getting big and tough, and they're slow, and now they're trailing the play. And Zadorov, not last night, but this season has taken a million penalties, and he's behind everything because he doesn't fit. He doesn't fit what they want to do, and they're trying to overcompensate and react to how they got knocked out the last couple of years, and they paid this guy all this money, and he's not worth it. Lindholm, I was skeptical if he was a top-line center. He, for the most part, has held up his end of the bargain. I like the Swayman contract, and so I'm fine with that one. Zadorov is the one I circle, and I go,
no, that's a good one to point
that
out.
That felt out of character. He felt overpaid for a guy who's a top four defenseman, but not a top line defenseman, top pair defenseman. And so that's one that I never liked from jump, and I'm second guessing now.
No, I think that one's a fair one. I do think it comes down to some of their guys that aren't necessarily star players. Marchand's a star player.
Yep.
They're just not performing to their ability, and then they're just so all the dumb penalties are just piling up on them. Like, it's not a very disciplined team.
No,
which I didn't think was going to be the case going in. Like, they seem to have good veteran guys. It's not like you're relying on a ton of rookies, and some of the more inexperienced guys they're talking about it in the Twitch chat. Like, is like the fourth line has been great.
No,
like,
they've
the
been
fourth
good.
Line's been like the best.
They're the
part.
Only ones that have been good.
Yes, it's the most consistent part, and it's also why Montgomery is changing every other line because he's like, this one's fine.
There's two ways of looking at that, by the way. One way is, the fourth line's been really good. If you can just get your top six going, now you really have something.
Yeah.
The other way to look at it is, holy crap, where would they be without the fourth line, and what happens when that runs out?
No, I know.
What happens when that goes away?
Now, the good news is it's obviously early in the season, and everybody's pretty jumbled up. So, like, all you have to do, if you have a good week, you're right back on top. Maybe not past Florida, but you're, like, second place in the division, and you can move on from this. But, you know, they always talk about the start in hockey. They were even talking about it last night. I was watching the Alt broadcast. Razor, Tuukka, Bergeron.
Yeah, how were they? How were the last two? A lot of insight there.
Well, No.
I like Razor.
I love Razor. Razor's great. Joins us every Thursday on the show.
Other two don't do much for me either.
Well, it was kind of funny because when he said that they were doing that together, I'm like, man, like both great players, but they're not known for, they're not talkers.
They're duds.
They're
both duds.
So I flipped over there, as I said I would, and it was crickets for a little bit, and it was not a lot of talk. They did loosen up at one point, and Razor's talking, they got in, and towards the end of the game, you know, they were rooting for like a comeback, obviously, and then they started talking about if they like shootouts, and Tuco was saying he doesn't. He's like, there's a good video of me not liking a shootout. So it's actually pretty funny. Like, so yeah, they had some good stuff. They loosened up a little bit. I just think it's a tough format. Like doing a TV show with like the Mystery Science Theater thing, I think it's better when it's like,
it's a lot harder when there's no personality, and there would help if you had some personality.
Personality helps.
That would aid it.
But also, I feel like the format is not right for television. And not to go down this whole road, I think it's better for like YouTube and Twitch because you can interact in live time with all the people that are watching, and it keeps the conversation going. Because if you and I were just watching a game together, we wouldn't talk for two straight hours during the game.
No.
Like we'd be like kind of zone out and look at, we'd raw dog the game a little bit.
Yeah.
And then we'd go, you know, like.
A lot of checking Thursday Night Football on my phone.
Yeah, right. So they're asking these guys
a lot
to
of
like
burps.
Talk the whole game.
Yeah.
And they're like, there's going to be times where they don't, and then you're just looking at a smaller screen, and then these three dudes just all sitting there.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, I preferred it to the regular broadcast yesterday. If they do it again, I'll probably watch that over the regular one.
Okay.
But, yeah, I just think it's tough. I'm not even ripping the guys. I think it's a tough thing.
Suck on that, Judd. So when it comes to the games last night, I think my formula for watching the games, Keith, was a pretty good one.
Although the Celtics game was closer, longer.
I was my strategy last night was I'm going to watch the Celtics in the beginning, then they're going to be blowing out Washington by 20 points, and I'll watch the Bruins. That's exactly what I did.
Blowout didn't come till later.
The Celtics first quarter was close,
yeah.
And you're watching it going,
what is this?
Jordan Poole's just drilling threes on this team?
Yeah.
Now, look, they didn't take as many threes last night, the Celtics. I think it was 45, 46 off the top of my head. I forget the exact number. I think it was 46. It was 61 in the first game. So they dialed that back.
45. They were 17 of 45 for the night.
So they dialed that back to a degree.
Half their shots.
They also weren't as red hot. 50% of their shots. Like, that still feels high to me, but that's closer to where you want to be.
Way more free throws, though.
Yeah.
Like, you know.
I don't have as much of an issue with that last night. And again, Washington's terrible.
Do you like the second pick in the draft? You know? Did you even notice him?
I noticed the bricks he put up last
night. Alex Sarr.
You see some of the threes he took?
He sucks.
Absolute bricks.
We knew it was a horrible draft. Maybe the worst draft ever.
Look, you have the box score.
Yeah, one of seven, 0 for 5 for 3.
Yeah.
He sucks. No, but going in, this was a bad draft. This was not a draft you wanted to be picking high. They had the number two pick. Felt like a bit of a stretch.
Yeah.
They take this kid from France, and you're like, no.
No, that's not it.
Don't do that.
That is not it. And
is
so,
that the kid Tatum hit the step back on?
Yes. I believe so. Yeah, he worked him on the right wing.
That
I believe
team
that was
just star. Jordan Poole getting all that money,
okay,
just jack shots.
Let me tell you.
You like Jordan Poole?
No, I don't.
Okay.
But let me tell you, I looked at that first quarter last night, and I said, I still don't love how they play defense this year, Keith. And I still don't love that. And you can only look at it when it's competitive last night. That was a competitive game with Washington in the first quarter, and then the Celtics are the better team, and they ran away. I don't love that. I mean, Jordan Poole was hot. Jordan Poole shouldn't be hitting six threes on you to start the game. Like, that shouldn't be happening.
No.
And Washington shouldn't hang with you. So I didn't love that. The Celtics are great. They're the best team in the league. They're on their own tier. But if I'm going to nitpick things coming out of that game, that I didn't love.
So, you know, there's a little bit of that. I also think just the way it's such a long grind of a season, the best teams, say the Celtics lose 10 games in the regular season or 12 games in the regular season.
Yep.
I feel like four of them are going to be to like non-playoff teams where you're like, what the hell was that?
Yeah, why they just,
I think
they show up thinking they can roll the basketballs out, and then when they try to kickstart it, it's too late, or they don't have it.
Yes, it happens all the time,
yep.
Right? And I just feel like, you know, night two, I definitely liked the Celtics last night and liked them laying the big spread, but maybe we shouldn't be shocked that it was sort of that slower start. You have banner night at home against the Knicks.
It's the Wizards home opener.
You're playing the Wizards in two nights?
Yeah.
Like, it's going to be hard to be motivated those games. Like, I don't have a doubt that they're going to be motivated for, like, the TNT ESPN games that a lot of players get excited for. Obviously, the Warrior games. Obviously, like, the Thunder games. The Sixer game. Like, there's plenty of games that are easy. Getting excited. Now, early season may be a little bit different, but 2-3 months from now, they're playing the Portland Trailblazers.
Ugh.
Like, good luck. Like, they might just be like, coach.
It's going to be a tough one.
Yeah, like, or maybe they still win, but it's kind of ugly. Like, remember last year, a lot of the games they lost were to the Lakers without LeBron, or the Cavs without Mitchell. Because there is just a little bit, even if you say, hey, we're not gonna play down to the competition, like sometimes you just inevitably do a little bit.
No, it's fair. Can I give you one more on Tatum last night? I read this stat. I want to just double check myself. Jason Tatum is averaging 31 a game through the first two games of the year. Both wins, both dominant wins for the Celtics, maybe putting himself in the MVP discussion. He hasn't scored, and I don't believe he has played in the fourth quarter yet, which means all of that production for Tatum is through three quarters. He's averaging 31 a game.
In three quarters.
But he's only playing three quarters of the game.
Yeah, that's pretty nuts.
And so that, to me, is I think that's important
somebody
for the Celtics.
Somebody else was doing that. Was it Jokic? One of these?
Maybe.
There was a guy recently, like in the MVP conversation, and I remember the topic being like, what if he played the fourth quarter? Like, what his numbers would be? Yeah. They're like, that's
Yeah, nuts. Remember when basketball cards, were these like Fleer or something like that?
Of course I remember basketball cards.
Do you remember when they used to do, they'd give you not their actual stats, they'd give you the per 48-minute stats?
I hate that.
I hated that.
You're like, wait, the guy's playing every second?
Yeah,
no,
like,
some of these guys
I'm
do.
Like, oh my God, Dino Raja averaged 30 a game? I'm like, I don't remember that. Oh, wait, those are his per 48.
Jimmy Butler's stats were the same because Thibodeau would play him 48 minutes a night. Speaking of basketball cards, you know what one is making the rounds again because of the popularity of a certain TV show? So there's like a, I don't know if it's Fleer or one of them. It's like a 90s basketball card. It's Mark Jackson.
Oh,
hand
nice.
Down, man down?
Yeah.
Mark Jackson for the New York Knicks.
Is it a, what were those cards called? Skydance? Skybox? Skybox.
It might have been Skybox.
I like a Skybox card.
There's no name on it because I was looking at it the other day. I got to look through my card to see if I have it. But anyway, the value is really high, and it's back in popularity because it's just a regular standard Mark Jackson Knicks card. Mm-hmm. But behind him, in the front row, the Menendez brothers.
Oh, I've seen this card. I know what you're talking about. Yes.
So, like, normally it would be worth like 10 cents. I think it's worth like hundreds of dollars now just because you have those two convicted killers.
The Menendez bros.
The Menendez bros. Yeah.
Skybox was a nice looking card. I'm looking at a David Robinson right now. That thing is fire.
David Robinson, what year?
Ooh, 90-91.
Oh, that's early Robinson.
Yeah. Like the company on the Mark Jackson one is NBA Hoops.
NBA Hoops? Yeah, must have been.
That come in like a box of cereal?
Yeah, right. I can see the little edges around it where you had to the perforated edges.
That come in like a Wonder Bread?
Get like Cheerios dust on it?
And I peel that out of my Sports Illustrated for Kids? What is that?
Oh, that's nice. I don't know, but you get that Menendez card, that might be worth something.
That's check the shoeboxes.
Maybe a couple PS5s.
Ted is in East Boston. Hello, Ted.
Hey, what's going on, guys? Great show.
Thank you.
So, I heard what you said about, you guys were talking about Montgomery, and I feel like it's the same thing that happened a few years ago with Cassidy, and honestly, I don't know whether they were great coaches or not. The point I want to make is I feel like it's just find somebody to blame. We suck. It must be the coach.
Okay, well, no. So Ted, if I didn't make that clear, I agree with you 100%. I think they've tuned out Montgomery, and Montgomery's going to lose his job. And by the way, I don't think Montgomery's a great coach, but I blame that's a commentary on the players. That's not really a commentary so much on Montgomery that they've tuned him out.
Yeah, Bruins and Patriots are different in this sense.
Yeah.
At least Montgomery has a little bit of a track record and something to stand on, whereas Mayo doesn't. So, like, if you're picking sides there, I would say I don't know why the players are acting the way that they are.
I don't fully know.
For the Bruins.
I don't fully know what Montgomery's done to get the players to tune out. You know, maybe it's just his personality. It's just it got old. Maybe it's that. And I tried to get this out of Razor yesterday. He says he doesn't ever think about his coach and their contract status, which I'm sorry. You know, if your coach might not be there beyond the year, you know that. You're aware of that, Razor. And so maybe because he's a lame duck coach, the players just, they know what's going to happen and they just don't find any reason to buy in. But that really is a commentary on the players. And if I didn't make that clear, that's what I mean. They've tuned him out and that's on them. Guys, you need to play better. Blame Jim Montgomery all you want, but fine. You blow out Montgomery. What changes there?
Right.
617-779-7937. You could jump in here. That's Celtics and Bruins thoughts. Tatum in the MVP conversation. Does that help or hurt the Celtics if he's going for an MVP this year? I kind of lean in on it helps. The Bruins. Another bad loss. What's the Jim Montgomery shelf life? You can jump in on those things. Plus, we got Patriots and Jets this weekend. A four-pack of questions for this weekend's game.
So, final question, guys. Leadership among the receivers. Do you see someone like that is the one they can look to say, whether it's Troy Brown,
Yeah, the guy that comes to mind is KJ. I think he just does it right every time. He's in the right spot. He's aligned correctly. He runs the right the depths on the routes. You know, he's a guy that works hard. He can play multiple positions. I would say it would be KJ.
How's Alex Van Pelt? Who's the model receiver on the team?
Probably the guy that demanded a trade. Nah, that's too strong. He didn't demand a trade. He was asked if he wanted to be traded, and he laughed and then said that's an alley-oop.
The guy who finally made a play, took to social media.
Said, oh, my friend thinks I'm good.
Put out a text from his friend about how difficult it's been for him all year. And then, in essence, demands a trade.
Yeah.
That's your model citizen in the wide receiver.
Compared to the other guys, he might not be wrong.
It's a good point. Where they're at. So that's Alex Van Pelt. We're going to talk to Van Pelt later on today here on Jones and Keefe. It's Patriots Friday on WEEI. You can listen live on the Odyssey app, AUDACY. Get it on your phone. Take it with you wherever you go. It's free and it's easy. Gerard Mayo spoke earlier today. He did say that KJ Osborne is on the team now. Is right.
All right.
Well, and we look forward to him playing on Sunday.
All right.
So Osborne may not be here for a long time, but he's on the team now. Sounds like he's going to play Sunday. So we'll have more on that. But meantime, it's Patriots Friday, which means it's time for a four-pack of questions for the Pats and the Jets. Second go-round here, Keith. So we're going to get away from some of our normal standard questions that we do.
We're going to change the game up a little bit.
We're not talking to Jets jerseys and who we want off the Jets because we've already done that.
Right.
We did it back in week three. So what do we have this week, Billy?
All right. Question one, who will be coaching the Jets next season?
Oof. So they fired Robert Saleh.
Yep.
And now they have, Ulbrich?
Yeah, Jeff Ulbrich.
Jeff Ulbrich.
Yep.
It won't be him.
No.
I can't imagine.
God, no.
It won't be him. I'm going to go with the guy. I think maybe – so a lot of times teams go from offense to defense, defense to offense.
So
I'm going to say they throw a ton of money at Ben Johnson and try to figure it out with Ben Johnson because the way things are trending, it's also not going to be Aaron Rodgers. And so you might want to get a guy that can help develop the next great quarterback, give yourself a chance. So I'll say they start all over, and it's Ben Johnson.
Okay, so I agree with your logic. They're going to go to the offensive side of the ball. They had Robert Saleh. It didn't work. They need an offensive guy. That's 100% going to be how they approach it. I don't think they're going to want to pay Ben Johnson or Bobby Slowick or names like that, like the hot up-and-coming offensive coordinator. Even Liam Cohen in Tampa is another name I thought of. You know who feels like a Jets coach, Keith?
Who's that?
Your guy, Cliff Kingsbury.
Ooh.
1 year, rehabs, Jaden Daniels
King
is
of New
good.
York.
Cash is in that chain.
That's good.
He feels so much like Adam Gase, it's not even funny.
No, he's like, better than Adam Gase. He's not doing crazy eyes at
Adam
the press conference.
Gase, he might. Adam Gase as a...
He's very handsome, man.
Speaking as a crazy-eyed man.
That's true.
I could see that going. New York.
Throw some money at Cliff Kingsbury.
City that never sleeps. You get those crazy eyes going.
Yeah.
No, that Adam Gase feels like good coordinator, bad head coach.
Yeah.
Cliff Kingsbury, same thing. That feels like the kind of guy New York would go after.
But offensive guy.
Offensive guy, retread. He feels like he'd want it because I don't think he can be picky and choosy like Ben Johnson or Bobby Slowick.
And they'd have to throw a ton of money at Ben Johnson.
Cliff Kingsbury. New York. Cliff Kingsbury is my pick.
You remember when Adam Gase had that press conference and his eyes were all wild and somebody photoshopped a taco? Like a moving taco, and it was just him looking at the taco.
What do you think? What do you think the other foods were that like got left on the scrap? Where they're like that
burger, pizza,
hot dog,
put a taco,
two of taco,
bang. Do like an emoji of a taco, and
comedy,
he's like following around.
Comedy gold. Like honestly, taco was so perfect. Could have been an ice cream.
Yeah,
that hot dog, hamburger. Nah.
There's been a bunch of press conferences recently where if you were the GM or even the owner, you had to have been like, we should fire this guy. We just made a huge mistake.
I've made a huge mistake.
Matt Patricia.
Yeah.
Now Sirianni actually righted the ship, but his was one of the all-time worst ones.
Yeah, and it was a tell that he's a wild man.
Yeah, right. And then Adam Gase, you're like, oh, we've made a huge mistake.
The first part of being smart is knowing what to do.
What?
That was Sirianni.
That's the first part. Yeah.
Next thing that's very important to me is that we build a smart football team.
All right.
Okay.
How do we do that?
Check those boxes.
Yep. Yeah, okay.
So you go with Ben Johnson. I'm going Cliff Kingsbury. Right. What's next, Billy?
Where does Aaron Rodgers rank all-time for quarterbacks?
Woo! I probably have him higher than most. I like Aaron Rodgers. Now, you can't put him crazy high because...
Can you not?
He's only won one Super Bowl, and he's had good teams, and he's gotten close, and he has struggled in those games.
Okay.
I think I still have him fifth.
So that's exactly where I have him.
Oh, you do?
That is exactly where I have him. Okay, you said crazy high... He's clearly, like...
I don't think a lot of people would put him in the top five.
Okay. Well, who do you have ahead of him?
We're ballsy enough to do it. Brady Mahomes.
I bet we have the same... maybe I have him six. I'm sorry. I didn't even think
Brady,
about... I'm an idiot. I didn't even think about Mahomes. How did I miss Mahomes?
Patrick Mahomes,
either
of them?
I have him six. I'm sorry. Let me rephrase. So you have him five. I have him six. How did I forget Mahomes? I don't even know how. Brady Mahomes, Montana.
Yep.
Manning.
Yeah, which sucks, but I think he has to be four. He's won so many MVPs.
Elway.
Are you like Elway more than
Rodgers? Yes. I mean, but whatever. So we're parsing. He's
five
in,
or six.
He's in
you guys
that
are
area.
Big Otto Graham guys.
Where do you got?
No,
Bart Jones.
Where do you got Johnny U?
Yeah. Johnny U. My bad.
I'm an idiot for forgetting Mahomes.
Luckman.
But who are the other names you like debate in the same area? Favre.
Marino. Yeah, Favre. I like Rodgers over Favre. More MVPs, same number of Super Bowls.
I mean, he won a Super. Like, for all we could say that he didn't win enough, I'd say the same thing about Manning.
Less graphic pictures.
But he did win a Super Bowl, and he was a four-time MVP.
Yeah, no, the dude
and he was done. And he was a Super Bowl MVP. Like, when you're talking about not Aaron Rodgers present day, but his career.
Yeah.
I think he's top five-ish. I guess I do have him just outside.
Do you like Kelly or Aikman or any of those guys?
No.
Yeah, not on that level.
I mean, I like Steve Young more than both of them.
Oh, you do?
I like Steve Young more than both Aikman. I know Aikman won three times, but Young was better.
Yeah.
And better than Jim Kelly. So, like, is Aikman, like, the back end of the top 10? Maybe. Probably not, actually. Is Jim Kelly and those guys back into the top 10? But I would say, like, Marino, Favre, Steve Young, like, I'd have him in that grouping. I personally would have him after Elway, but I don't think that's crazy to have him ahead of Elway.
Kurt Warner was pretty good. I know it was a small time, but he was so good for like a handful of years.
And he got
years.
There with a second franchise,
MVPs,
which helps.
Super Bowl appearances, one Super Bowl win. But yeah, I think he's...
You have him five, I have him six.
I have five, you have him six.
Okay, I think that's about right. Again, we're arguing over Elway and those two careers. Yeah, yeah. I would be on the Elway side of that, but we're
dude,
in the
get
same,
out of here with Brees.
Same vicinity.
People texted in Drew Brees.
Okay, but how about Brees or Aikman?
Oh, Aikman.
I think I'd take Brees.
Brees was just like a dome quarterback that they celebrated the first down record.
Do you know Aikman's numbers? They're horrendous.
How about those Super Bowl rings?
I
can't hear him over the rings.
I get it, but like Brees couldn't have won with those teams.
It was a different time, though. It's hard to compare yards then to yards now. Drew Brees missed the playoffs a bunch of years.
Do you know what Troy Aikman's high in touchdowns was?
25.
23. Yeah. Do you know how many times he threw more than 20 touchdowns?
Four.
That was it. You just heard it. 23. That's
really?
It. Yes.
I bet they were all to Michael Irvin.
So
seriously,
like,
you know what's weird about that? Look
Aikman,
up Troy Aikman's
Aikman
stats.
When we were kids, he was so awesome.
Yeah.
And like that's my image of him, but the numbers are real bad with
no, but
Troy
Drew
Aikman.
Brees is wildly overrated.
Fine. But he's still better than Aikman.
I'm not going to like go crazy about that. But what's funny, I looked this up a while ago because, you know,
what was your question? Aikman and Irvin?
Yes. Troy Aikman, you're like, oh, they didn't throw much. And then so you're like, how good are Irvin's numbers? No, Irvin's numbers were incredible.
Yeah, no, Irvin was great. And like, Emmitt was great. Aikman was.
But he clearly only threw to Irvin. Like, the numbers are the same. Like, Aikman's stats are Irvin's stats.
That 23 touchdown season, Irvin had 7.
Okay. All right, that's less than I thought.
But he did have 1,400.
Alvin Harper must have been a monster.
But he had like half the yards, right? Yeah. Or like more than half the yards.
He had 14 of Aikman's 3,400 yards.
Yeah, so he's throwing him like every time.
Yeah.
But
Alvin Harper, monster. One good year.
Yeah.
Then he went to Tampa.
Yep.
Okay, Billy, what else we got?
Will the Jets make the playoffs this year?
No. Next question.
So they won't. Let me answer this for a second because I thought they were going to be in the Super Bowl this year. I thought it was going to be Packers Jets Super Bowl. Yeah, I did.
Oh, Rodgers but I'm against willing, the Packers. I mean, good narrative.
But like I said, it takes a big man to admit when he's wrong, and today I am that big man. They are not going to make the Super Bowl. They are not going to make the playoffs. They're going to win this Sunday. They're going to get to 3-5. But like we said, it doesn't even really count. You haven't beaten a real football team yet, and you're 3-5. So no, they're a disaster. They're not going to make the playoffs.
They will not. I'm getting a lot of pushback.
First of all,
I'm an idiot for forgetting Mahomes, but Mahomes over Montana, right?
Yo, yeah,
definitely.
Dude, Mahomes.
Yeah,
Mahomes.
I'm an idiot for forgetting Mahomes. I don't know how I didn't
Mahomes
remember
is
him.
Insane.
But Mahomes over Montana for sure. All right, what's our last question?
What Jet do you hate the most?
Ooh,
most hateable Jet.
They got a lot of hateable Jets. I'm going to go with Bart Scott.
Definitely.
That's yours too.
That's 100% the one. It is. I'd like one from like more my childhood, but like, and the whole can't wait thing was just, it was infuriating.
But there's also that brief little hiccup where they beat you in a big game.
Yep.
Right? So there's only 09 and 10 were they any good. Like they sucked prior to that. They've sucked for the most part after that. So they were actually competitive.
Mm-hmm.
Even when you blew them out in the regular season, they beat you in the playoffs. And he's just obnoxious. So I would say.
Does Rex count?
Yeah, I was going to say, would Rex count?
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess Rex should count, actually. Just
you think so?
Jet.
It's not a Jet player. He's a Jet. Rex would be a good one.
Yeah, Rex would be a good one. No, Bart Scott was sort of the face of that. because I always kind of liked Revis. I was like, Revis is nasty. And then he came a Patriot later.
Yeah, and when you're younger, you know.
Curtis Martin?
Well, I was going to say.
I was mad that he was there.
You're not going
like,
to hate Curtis Martin. No. You loved I know you love Keyshawn.
I loved Keyshawn.
I didn't love Keyshawn. I appreciate Keyshawn a little more now the older I get, but like watching that in real time, I didn't like
I probably
Keyshawn.
Didn't like Wayne Corbett because I did like Keyshawn.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
I
like, give Keyshawn the ball.
But they really didn't have any hateable quarterbacks until Zach Wilson, but then he was so bad that you're like, whatever.
I didn't really like Pennington.
See, I had like, I was like, whatever. He's just out there.
Yeah, but I didn't really like
him. Okay.
You know, I'm like, how is this guy making plays on this team? His arm doesn't even work.
It's odd.
That bothered me.
Couldn't throw it.
I guess I was really being angry at the Patriots.
Although,
but I'm like, how is this guy making plays? He can't throw.
Yeah. First round pick.
Robotic arm.
Yeah. Probably reconstructed arm,
yeah,
too,
I think
by the
it
end
was.
Of it, right?
Think, yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah,
a little pea shooter. The guy had a good career, though.
Good, healthy debate going on about the quarterbacks where Aaron Rodgers fits. Keep those coming. 37937. Twitch chat, twitch.tv/BostonWEEI, or on the phone, 617-779-7937. That's our Friday four-pack. We've realized that the Fridays are very busy with our Patriots guests. Normally, we do the week in review at 12:45. That hasn't been a great spot for it, so we're going to try it out at 11:45, so 5 minutes from now. We'll do the week in review next.
It's certainly been a week.
Yeah, why don't you feel him out here, Keith?
Here's some of the best.
Get the chainsaw!
There's a whale at the compound!
We gotta go.
Get everybody pile in the minivan.
Chainsaw.
We're going.
And worst.
You guys are as bad as the announcers.
It's Jones and Keith's Week in Review.
The guy sucks! Get him out of here!
On WEEI.
All right, Week in Review time here on Jones and Keith, WEEI. What a week it has been, Jones. The last full week of October, because next Friday, November 1st.
Oh.
That's your little calendar update.
Spooky season.
It is. Spooky season is very much upon us. Less than a week until All Hallows Eve. Let's start with the call of the week. That would be Tommy and Lynn on Monday.
I love the show. I love you guys' show. Keith, you're the man, too. But
yes.
Anyways,
thank you.
I want to take a dump on Elliot Wolf. This roster is so horrible, guys. It's so horrible. What is he doing? They do not have an offensive line. They do not have any guards. This team needs to do something in the draft this year because it's like pathetic. The only one that can do stuff is Drake May, and he's the future of the team. And I support Drake May. I back him up. I'm part of the Drake May camp because this kid has future. And he needs help with the O-line and a guard because Elliot Wolf is such a clown, Jones. It's not even funny. It's not even funny with this roster, Jones.
It's,
you agree?
I agree.
Agreed.
It is unfortunate.
Taking a shot at it. Elliot Wolf.
No, it wasn't a shot.
He agrees. Jones agrees with him.
Wants to take a dump on him.
He sure did.
Is what
and he kind of did.
Tommy and Lynn wants to
well,
do.
No,
I'll
thank you, Tommy.
Tell you what, yeah. Tommy. Call of the week. Great.
Love
call.
That. Very yeah. good. Now we also got into it. I would like to think before everybody else did, but that's par for the course. What does
yeah,
Jerome
we don't
Bayo
wanna,
do?
We don't want to brag, but we were first.
No, we're not going to pat ourselves
we
on the back.
We did get on this before, but not to brag and pat ourselves on the back and make a big song and dance about it, but we were talking about it before you.
Just factually correct.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
People, it had become a story, but this was back Monday, yes. Us talking about what, in fact, Jerome Bayo does. Because they only show him so many times on the sideline. What is he doing? Honest to God, what is he doing? Like, we've seen a lot of head coaches, a lot of games that you watch, you pop on, and, you know, sometimes you have, like, you know, Andy Reid, Sean McVay, Mike McDaniel, those guys are calling offensive plays. So, like, all right, you kind of get what they're doing, but they're very, but, like, you'll also see those guys sometimes talking with a player, talking with another coach, talking to a bench of players after a possession. Every time they show Jerome Bayo, it's like, man, he's a mannequin. He's just standing there. Is he talking
what
to anybody?
What would you say? You do here.
I swear, every time. And maybe it's Buzzard's luck.
This constipated look on his face. Yeah, it might just be luck.
It might be Buzzard's luck. Yeah. Let's say they show him 10 times, and it happens to be that 10 times he's not doing anything, and he's like staring off into space. He's like, what is it? What was the competition that Billy sent, the thing that they were doing, like the daydream competition?
Yeah, it was a dad. He looks like a participant in the daydream competition, yes.
He's raw dog in the game.
I deal with the goddamn customers so the engineers don't have to. I am good at dealing with people. Can't you understand it? What the hell is wrong with you people?
Amazing, but it's true. And now it's become like a an extra thing to watch every game day.
Yeah.
So it's the stuff on the field, great. It hasn't gone well for the Pats, but you're watching that. You're like, everybody likes football.
Yeah.
But then what is Mayo doing when they show him?
What's the drinking game? Is the drinking game you take a drink every time they cut to him and he's doing nothing?
Yes.
Or is the drinking game...
Well, how much do you want to drink?
Oh, good
do
question.
You want a drink? If you want, if
I don't
you want
wanna,
a drink.
I don't want to black out. And so if they cut, every time they cut to him doing nothing...
change it up maybe at the half.
Yeah.
Maybe when he's
maybe
just
you drink every
nothing.
Time they cut to him showing him doing something, you take a drink.
He'd be real dead warm sober. Beer by yeah. the end of the day. You're not going to
that's a good point.
Have much of a chance.
Good point. Not much of a drinking game.
A very controversial interview we conducted on Patriots Monday with Christian Gonzalez. A lot of people talking about this. A lot of people writing about this.
Yeah.
They don't
a lot of talking and a lot of writing.
People hate it.
Yeah,
people hate it. So,
they hate you.
So we will play this port. Yeah, they hate me. We'll play this portion of it, and then you be the judge.
Yeah, you be the judge.
Go into it, please, with a clean ear
Open mind.
A clean heart.
Yeah,
just see what you think. Javon Baker missed a practice, and then Pop Douglas missed a bunch of time with the game because of he wasn't feeling very well. But was there some weird food out there that you guys were eating?
I mean, no.
Okay, all right.
Well,
you had two sick players, and you had another player say that guys weren't eating the right stuff. So I didn't know if you got any. Obviously, you were able to avoid that, whatever it was.
Sorry, I can go to the next question.
Oh,
man.
Oh, go to the next
egg
question.
Egg on my face.
That was Monday again, Keith?
Fried egg. Yeah, it was Patriots Monday.
Yeah, not again to pat ourselves on the back, but I feel like we were well ahead of this story because Drop Mail was being asked about what the players were up to in London today.
Yeah.
Finally, they got around to asking him about that. We were asking the players on Monday.
Somebody yesterday came out with food poisoning.
Uh-huh.
So it's like, is it that crazy to ask about food then?
One wouldn't think, but the people didn't like it.
Next question.
Wow.
First time.
Made us think. There's something to this.
Something is up.
Next question.
All right. That led to perhaps a new show rival, and I mean literally from the clouds. We might have a new show rival.
Uh-oh.
Commenting on Twitter is Vinny Foti MTV. I go, wait a minute, what?
So not Vinny from Jersey Shore.
No. Not that Vinny.
That'd
no.
be a good one.
Still an MTV Vinny, but not the MTV Vinny.
No. At least the second most memorable Vinny at MTV.
So he responded, "You guys are so lame. Who cares if players got sick from the London food? You think he's going to tell you and then have to fight in the locker room after his comments?
They're going to have to get in a fight?
People who never played competitive sports doing interviews.
That's me. I didn't play many competitive sports at a high
level.
Played
in high school. I mean, where does this Vinny guy play in?
Well, I don't know.
Interviewer is just breaking, like, has played
pro
sports?
The challenge is the fifth professional sport.
I have all the respect in the world for the challenge. He's actually talking to two challenge fans.
Correct.
Now, Vinny has a checkered past when it comes to the challenge.
Yeah, well, he was terrible at the challenge, number one. But number two, he was awful. Number two,
he's one of the worst challenge.
But he was there to compete. He would do better than me, Vinny.
So this literally is our wheelhouse. I'm not making fun.
No, you said Vinny right away. I go, the Vinny who got sent home for popping off Mandy's top there on one episode.
Think he's been blackballed, or do you think he's rightfully not allowed on that show?
That's a good question.
The women are probably happy he's not allowed on that show.
I just like the idea that, like, Christian Gonzalez answers something on this show and then he has to go fight about it in the locker room.
It's like, yeah, what?
What'd you say on Jones and Keith? Wait, I didn't hear you on Jones and Keith today? Pull him up, man.
Yeah, and so I responded to him. I just wanted to clarify. I was like, hey, bud, like, I appreciate the feedback, but Kendrick Bourne brought up the fact guys weren't eating right, so we're asking about that.
Hey, you got anything to say about that
guy?
Said,
keep up the good work on the challenge.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah. Because it's in his bio. If you'd been kicked off of the show and never allowed back on the show, would the first thing be like, on the challenge? Like, are you though?
Are you? You were.
You were.
You were really bad at it.
You were horrible at it.
And then you weren't allowed back on it.
Yeah.
But yeah, sure. No, I do really like that. Although it turns out, I mean, we talked to Robert Horry this week, and Robert Horry was like, I was ready to go back in the locker room and have some fights. Not
true.
After what he said.
No. Well,
on the media.
Speaking of Robert Horry.
Oh, nice.
Yeah,
wow.
So Vinny might be a new show rival. Robert Horry, a new show friend.
Oh, for sure.
And he talked about that whole Danny Ainge situation from years ago.
The thing about Danny Ainge, we moved with the Houston Rockets. He did that terrible act by hitting Mario in the face with the ball. And he told us when I got to Phoenix that he did it on purpose. And Mario's my boy. You know, we lived by each other. We hung out together. So that just made me mad. And then he had the nerve to say I was the worst defensive player on the team one time when I played with Wesley Person, the late, great Wayman Tisdale, and I played with Danny Manning. You trying to tell me them three are better defenders than me? And so now you see where the ball is going. Then he takes over the team. Then my first game back in Houston, he benches me and doesn't play me. I'm like, dude, you asking for an ass whooping. So And it just got to a point where, you know, he had took over as coach, and he just was, you know, I was so mad when Dallas made the trade and I wasn't in that trade. I just didn't like him, man. You know, and it, to me, there's certain things you do not do, and he crossed the line with a lot of things. I know a lot he's loved and by the people of Boston. And
we don't miss him that much, to be honest, Robert.
Nah,
we
the guy that replaced him is doing a better job. Yeah.
But you know, it just was one of those things, man, where, you know, I was like, Popeye, I had enough is enough, and I had to do what I had to do.
Awesome. What a great story.
Tremendous interview.
Check out the whole interview on the Odyssey app.
Well, and by the way, shout out to the Twitch chat, twitch.tv/BostonWEEI. That's where the idea for that question about him throwing the towel
at
Ainge came from. Yeah. And then we got that great anecdote. So shout out. I forget who had it in the Twitch chat, but great job.
I love how it's about Ainge, and then Wesley Person catches a stray on it.
Strays left and right.
the late great.
Wayman Tisdale, not even with us anymore, catching strays from beyond the grave.
Yeah, exactly. Insane.
Not great.
He's like, you're telling me Danny Manning plays better defense than me? So, all right, there you go. There's our week in review here on Jones and Keefe.
Oh, we got a good text there. You were pointing this out, Keefe. This has to be the text you were pointing out. 37937. I know Vinny.
Yeah, somebody knows Vinny. Small world. We have somebody in the chat knows Pam Smart.
Wow.
Not to cross those streams.
Wow.
It's very different.
Yeah.
Somebody knows Pam Smart.
Yeah.
One of the more notable New Hampshire figures.
Yeah, nice state you got.
Of all time.
Yeah.
But no, now somebody grew up with Vinny from the Challenge.
I think Vinny legit was cast on the Challenge as like the heir to CT. Like, no joke. I think they were like, let's bring in another mass hole who's going to like fight people.
Meat brain.
Another meat brain.
Yeah.
Except he's terrible at it compared to CT.
Correct. CT is excellent at it.
I know Vinny. Maybe he's from Mass. He's an absolute douche. This is a texter's
no,
words.
No, not our words.
This is not what I'm calling him.
Not
this
our
is what
words.
The text line is calling him. Right. But I want to point out they do think he's an absolute douche.
They do, yeah.
And his only calling card is from his hometown is that he's on MTV.
Right.
Other than that, he's a loser.
Also hilarious, another text.
And again, a loser meaning the text line's words, not our
not
words.
Not ours.
The text line.
Right.
Yes.
Just reading from some of the listeners.
Yeah, that know him. And
but somebody's also talking about how he was also really bad at the Challenge back when it was a lot easier to be good at it, because now they all work out like maniacs. They're all in great shape. They don't even drink on the show, and they take it seriously. Back then, it was like a party scene.
Yeah.
So if you were big and strong, you should have been pretty good at it.
Yeah, and the games were really stupid, too. So it's like they were stupid games. It was,
I kind of preferred it back then, to be honest.
Yeah.
I don't need everybody being a CrossFit model.
That's a good point. No, I like the old Challenge. You know what they say? You play stupid games, you win stupid prizes. They did. You'd win like...
I like that.
Like an Iowa sound system.
Yeah, like, and they'd bring it out, and like, you guys get, like...
The winners would get, like, $10,000. Now they're making, like, $1 million.
$1 million,
yeah. So, you know, joke's on us, I guess.
Millionaire Mitchell.
But, yeah, Ashley Millionaire Mitchell, Bananas made $1 million.
Sure did. the guy that invented the pet rock, he made $1 million.
Wiggy and his 25-leg parlay.
Wiggy this weekend is going to make $1 million.
But Vinny, it's a good point. He was kicked off when it really wasn't even that hard to win the show.
No, he should have been decent.
But again, that's a text line. It's not us.
Yep. 37937.
Yeah, not our words at all. 617-779-7937. Let's get back to the Patriots this weekend. You giving them any chance? And we'll circle back to some comments from Gerard Mayo. I didn't love him. That would include London. That would include KJ Osborne. Those topics are covered. We'll do it next.